now moving on to the topic of IAS 28. And is this the one where we had the misprint on the agenda about who's running the show?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes. So it's Gary.
Okay, Gary. I'm going to say, he sure doesn't look like Denise.
Denise is pretty.
She's going to do it anyway.
She's just going to keep an eye on it. Take it away, Gary.
Thanks, Wayne. Hi, everyone. So this is Agenda Paper 9, which is the application of the equity method. The Agenda Paper 9 is intended to achieve two objectives. The first is just to give the committee a report back on the discussions that we had with the board at the September board meeting. And secondly, it's to obtain guidance from the committee on how we can best take this issue forward for consideration at a future meeting. So at the September 2011 board meeting, we presented a paper to the board which outlined the four issues that the committee had considered for annual improvements, but for various reasons had recommended that the board not take them on to the annual improvements. The good news is the board agreed with the committee's recommendation, and those aren't going forward as ARPs. But having said that, on one of the issues, which is this issue, being the application of the equity method in IAS 28, the board was concerned that if they didn't take it on as an ARP, there would be some time before the board would actually be able to address it in the short or near term. Some of the board members acknowledged that this was a current issue in practice. So therefore, the board requested that the committee further analyze the issue and try and help the board by recommending how the board might be able to fix this without needing to wait until the board actually had the capacity to consider IAS 28 and equity accounting more broadly. So I don't intend to kind of rehash the entire issue because the committee discussed it twice before then, but I mean, just in a quick nutshell, this was the issue around when you've got an associate and the associate's recording changes in their net assets and those changes are not recorded in either net income or in OCI of the associate. The question is how should the venturer equity account for that? The question was, you know, should they account for that? And if they do, where should they record that? Does it go in P&L? Does it go in OCI? Does it go in equity? That was, in a nutshell, the question. We agree with the committee's previous conclusion that it would have been preferable if the board had been able to consider this as part of a broader review of IAS 28. However, as I explained previously, based on the board's expected capacity to look at this issue and in light of the request from the board for help on this, we think that the committee could analyze the above issue and help the board without necessarily needing to reconsider IAS 28 more broadly. And so what we've done in the paper is just laid out a possible approach that we think we could take to try and take the issue forward and provide the board with the help that they were requesting. In doing that, we've kind of identified three questions that we think we need to address. The first being, should those other net asset changes, in other words, changes in the associates' accounts that don't go through net income and don't go through OCI, should those be recognized by the venturer? The second question is, if they should be recognized, which is I think where the committee was struggling last time, where should they be recorded? Should they be recorded in P&L? Should they be recorded in OCI? Should they be recorded in equity? And the third question is then, you know, what is the best way that the committee can help the board to address this issue in the short to medium term? Again, as I said in the paper, we've set out an approach that we're proposing, which would be maybe let's ask the first question there because you don't need to go into the approach if the committee decides they don't take this on. So I'll pause there for the first question in the paper, which is, you know, does the committee want to take another crack at this based on the board's request?
All right.
I definitely support considering it and the approach you propose. Can I make some comments about, in your approach, you are going to look at some examples.
Yes.
Can I make some suggestions about the examples? But back of my mind is the question is, does one requirement fit all situations? And perhaps in the examples you have, for example, movements in other reserves such as share-based payments versus gain and losses arises on an associate's transaction with non-controlling interest.
Mm-hmm.
One of the differences I see is some transactions are going to change the net assets of the associates, whereas some are not. So is this going to have an effect on the conclusion we may have? Also, I note that you have as an example initial recognition of liabilities recognized in respect of put options on non-controlling interests. So I was wondering whether this is a good case to look at, noting that we are going to look at put on NCI also for subsequent measurements. For instance, if I had to switch, I would switch this one for looking at how to account for convertible debt issued by an associate, or even simply share capital increase by an associate that is made by the other parties that is not followed up by the investor. Yeah. These are good examples to look at. Otherwise, I completely support the approach.
Ruth?
I do not support taking this on. I don't see that it is in that equity accounting, and that tinkering with the method of equity accounting is something we should be doing, spending our time on, where it's a method that is widely criticised, including by the board itself. And I think we have better things to do with our time. I think we should just leave it alone. We could go into all sorts of intellectual debates and arguments, and we could spend many months on this, and I don't think it's the right use of resources.
Just as a piece of information, there are people, Alan, I don't know if we've got any on our staff working on it, but I think on the FASB staff working on what they call simplified equity accounting. And if they plan to take that forward and we plan to participate in that exercise, that might suggest we ought to save our time for something else.
Yeah, we did some initial work on that, but it stalled, unfortunately, with getting leases and revenue and so on. But we did quite a bit of initial analysis about having a much simpler approach to the equity method. The difficulty we will face is, unfortunately, it ties into IFRS 9 because you know, we're very clear about what the accounting is, and the FASB, for example, in relation to a lot of its investments has actually gone more to fair value than we had gone. So it's a difficult thing because it almost likes you're introducing a third measurement basis. But we have done quite a bit of background work on it, and I think it'll depends on what we do coming out of the agenda consultation. This might fit nicely into a simplification process where we look at several areas and see if we can simplify. So, yeah.
Tito?
I would support Laurence. Let's have a try on this. I think there's a lot of diversity out there. It's important. I think the argument that the equity method is broken should not hinder us to address this issue because equity method is applied out there. It's still there. It's IAS 28. Even if you say it's broken. There are some other views, by the way, that don't think it's broken. With regards to the discussions that we may have, I agree you could talk about this thing for months and months and months, but I think that this committee is aware that this is not a group of people that talk about, you know, theoretical methods that are out there, but we are here to we are here to give some practical help out there.
And not I think a group of academics.
I didn't want to use that word. So, but you know, having in mind that there is a need out there and that we could come up with a practical view, I think with that in mind, I hope that we can come up with a solution. So I agree, we should take it on the agenda.
Joanna.
I have some considerable empathy with what Ruth is saying, but on the other hand, it is with a proviso that I actually think if we can, and I've underlined the words that you've got in 10D, include a principle, so long as we can do it at a principle basis, and quite frankly, Laurence, that we don't go into the detail of the things that you're talking about, because if we do, we will get into the academic discussions around some of those. They may be some of the key things, but if we get into that, it is going to take months. So to me, we should only take it on if we think that we can do it in a disciplined, principle-based, quick, easy, maybe not easy, fix, and that we don't spend the months on it, because it's not the best use of our time, because absolutely no, well, sorry, I would say absolutely no question, Guido might disagree, that equity accounting has not got a long-term future.
I wouldn't, just a piece of advice, there was one board member who was very vocal about that, and I'm not sure how widely that view was shared, because it never came to a decision. Scott?
I wish that equity accounting did not have a long life.
Okay, maybe,
but
that's what
it,
I meant.
It is my view that, in reality, the life of equity accounting is longer than mine.
Yeah.
So I think we should we should give it a try. I won't disagree with Joanna's suggestion that we should be disciplined, principles-based, and try to make it easy, because the alternative is to be undisciplined, rule-based, and to try to make it difficult. Those sound like bad ideas. But I think we should give it a shot, because I don't think equity accounting is going away, and, you know, to put it off until somebody takes up, you know, a complete review of equity method accounting, we're kicking it down the road forever. Nobody wants to do a complete review of equity method accounting, because it's really hard, and we might as well tick off the bits that we think we can help with.
Peggy?
Yeah, I would agree with Scott. I think that we should try to do it in the manner that Joanna had said. Because I think it's very widespread, and the number of arrangements that are being accounted for using equity method are just increasing. It's not decreasing.
My only reservation before calling the vote is it occurs to me that we have a lot of carry forward work right now, and we know that we have some very thorny issues coming up. Having said that, let me first put the question, how many people want to take a try on this? How many people want to pursue this?
It's a majority.
Okay, that's a clear majority. In thinking about the priorities, where would you put this one? So if we have to put something on the top shelf for a while and just let it sit, is this one that we can do that with? Okay, I've got a definite yes and a couple of definite no's. Okay, we'll just have to see how it works out then.
Yeah.
Joanna?
I just wonder whether it's worthwhile.
Right. Gary has suggested that we'll bring a paper to the next meeting setting out some of these things. I would almost like what we've just said to be a tentative decision and have a look at what Gary comes up with, go around one time at the next meeting and think, do we think we can do it in the fashion that I described? Certainly wouldn't want to do it the other way. I.e., what happens at that point? So rather than a firm decision, yes, we'll definitely take it on and we'll pursue it, is to actually get the next paper and make a decision then as to whether we think we can actually do it in a relatively straightforward way.
And I think just a clarifying question on that, Jonah, because the way we proposed at least the approach in the paper is we would come back with a couple of examples and analyze each of them, and then at the end of that see if there's a common principle we can draw from that, which is why I think, you know, I was looking for examples from Laurence, which is good. I just wasn't sure, are you okay with that as the approach? If that's what that's the idea, that's what the paper will be if we come back with it. It's going to have examples and then see if we can pull together a common principle.
Is there any objection to that approach? Okay, press on.
I think that's that one, yeah.
That's it, yeah. That was it for now. Stay
okay.
tuned.
Very efficient here.
As a matter of fact, you've been so efficient. Let's see if there's anything else we can have you do.
Don't go away, just talk.
Time leading up to 10:45.
Earnings per share.
You want to do earnings per share?
Yeah, you can do earnings per share. Just grab the paper.
All right. For those of you on the radio, we're moving to paper 14.
Okay, so this is agenda paper 14, which is calculating earnings per share considering non-cumulative preference dividends. So the committee received a request to address an issue relating to the calculation of basic earnings per share. An issue relates to the calculation of EPS when you have non-cumulative preference shares that are classified as equity. So paragraph 14 of IS